She's the lean, green fighting machine of the Marvel cosmic characters. Strap in, because your geek history lesson on Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Green Jeans Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because Geek History Lesson is the podcast where we take one character or team from pop culture and we break it down in about an hour, so that that way you can be the cool kid around your school. You can be like, yo, this green chick, she's in that space movie. I know exactly where she comes from.
If you called her a chick, she might kill you.
You know, this green female alien. I know exactly where she comes from.
There you go.
All right. Who are we talking about today, Ashley?
Today we are talking about Gamora, who you may know from the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise.
It's out. It's out in the world right now. You can fill it. So much space aliens for your head. But we're not here to talk about the movie.
No.
We're here to talk about the girl from the movie. The woman. The female alien.
The lady.
Yes, I know. I don't want her to get angry about me. I know Gamora listens.
Yeah, she's tough.
All right. Great. So let's just go ahead and start the podcast off. We're all good. And let's go to the 10-cent origin, which is the first section of our podcast, where we give you the Cliff Notes version of this character in case you ever go to a really amazing cocktail party on Nowhere and you need to talk to Cosmos the dog.
I think it'd be that same joke for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did indeed.
It's a great line.
It's a good joke, just to keep on using it.
So Gamora Zen Huberi Ben Titan is a Marvel Comics character.
Say that five times fast.
I can't, because I forget it if I'm not looking at it. She is also known as the most dangerous woman in the universe, Bambi Long, Green Assassin Lady, and Gammy. Her first appearance was...
Can I put a pause? Bambi Long?
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Okay, okay. All right.
We're literally never going to talk about it.
I'm actually quite glad about that fact. All right.
Her first appearance was in Strange Tales number 180 from June of 1975, and she was created by Jim Starlin, Epic Comics creator. And her team affiliations have Min, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Infinity Watch, Phalanx, and the United Front. Her abilities include being a highly skilled assassin and gymnast, a master martial artist. She has superhuman strength, speed, agility, and durability, and an accelerated healing factor. And she is famously played by Zoe Saldana in the Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Now, real quick, you stopped real quick on Jim Starlin. I just want to ask you, Professor, do you know what other character Jim Starlin created?
All of them?
Well, yeah. But
do I know which one you're specifically thinking of?
Probably not.
No.
Thanos.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah.
Very important figure in Gamora's
Her
life.
Daddy. All right.
I should have figured that one
out. That's all right. It's all good. But yeah, everybody should give mad accolades to Jim Starlin, because he's responsible for half the stuff you see in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah. All right. let's move on to the meet cute. That's where Ashley and I first say where we first meeted or cuted the character that we saw.
So remember how in Guardians of the Galaxy, I said that I was working at a comic book shop and someone came
you
in.
You mean our Guardians of the Galaxy lesson, not the movie.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I said that someone came into the comic book shop and said, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And I said, what are the Guardians of the Galaxy? Well, I learned what they were in Brian Michael Bendis and Steve McNiven's Guardians of the Galaxy number 0.1. Because it basically introduces all of the characters from the movie team. And that was the first time I'd ever... I mean, maybe not the first time I'd ever read Gamora, but the first time it made an impression on me.
Got it.
And then the movie, obviously, I think for most people, affected, you know, what I thought of the character a lot more than that.
So, got it.
How about you? Where did you first meet and cute Gamora?
I mean, I feel like we're a broken record this week, because mine meet cute for Gamora is exactly the same as the Guardians was last week.
It's tough because she doesn't have a lot of adventures outside of the Guardians.
And I've never read her solo title, so I don't know. But
all four issues of it?
Yeah, all four issues. The fifth issue coming soon. But yeah, I Annihilation.
Yeah,
there you go. In fact, listeners, I feel like we cheated you out of a meet cute. So if you really want to get a full meet cute, just wind up back a week, 7 days, go listen to our Guardians episode. There you go.
Skip about 5 minutes in and you'll get to it.
All right, great. Let's move into the History 101 of Gamora. That's the main meat of our lesson, where Ashley's going to reveal all of our secrets.
Yes. So as with many of the Guardians of the Galaxy, Gamora was the last survivor of her alien race known as the Zen Huberis. They were a peaceful race destroyed by a zealous religious order that was seeking to take over the galaxy. The people who killed the Zenhuberis were called Grand Inquisitors, and they herded the entire population of the planet into a valley and killed them there for resisting conversion to their religion and for fighting back. Luckily, Thanos, a.k.a. the Mad Titan, rescued Gamora from extermination and brought her back in time to the 616 continuity in reality during the 20th century, where they lived in his space station called Sanctuary. So all of these events took place in the far-flung future.
Like a weird alternate reality future?
Yeah. Okay. And then Thanos was just like hanging around and was like, oh, this green baby, she's mine now.
I'm surprised. I did not know that she wasn't a birth daughter of Thanos.
No, she's not. I knew that.
Okay, I did not know that.
I don't know if they confirm that in the movie, but they do stress it a lot in the Guardians comic book series.
Okay.
So there on the Sanctuary, Thanos technologically enhanced Gamora's natural abilities as he raised her, while at the same time altering her perception so that she could have no moral quandaries while she was killing people.
He made her a psychopath.
It was always his intention to train her to be an assassin. Mm-hmm. And it was Thanos' plan to train Gamora to use against Magus, or Magus. So Magus is a warped version of Adam Warlock, who's the leader of the Universal Church of Truth from an alternate future.
Alrighty.
So evil.
Good to know this Gamora lesson is going to start off very simple to understand.
Right. So evil future Adam Warlock, okay? Like, let's condense it down to that.
And Adam Warlock is sort of like a cosmic-y sorcerer guy.
Yeah. He's going to become really important.
Okay.
So Thanos was very hard on Gamora, but he did show her what he thought passed for affection, including, most memorably, they celebrate Yule together. And he gives her presents. Like, they have Christmas.
All right,
on
Thanos.
Sanctuary.
Look
but it's,
at you.
But it's specifically Yule, which is like the pagan winter holiday.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know. But it's supposed, this particular story is held up of like the pinnacle of Thanos as a parent. This led Gamora to becoming a highly trained master of various martial arts from across the known universe and often inspired her to try and escape her captivity. Gee, I wonder why. As a girl, Thanos took Gamora on a trip and told her to stay put where he had left her. But she escaped and was attacked by a group of thugs who were able to defeat her in spite of her training, severely injuring and raping her.
Oh, hey now.
So I think this would be an appropriate time to dip into a little discussion question that I have for you.
Okay.
On the topic of rape, do we think that this is a necessary storytelling device? Does it reveal anything about her character? And I also want to point out that this is a trope that we saw happen with Carol Danvers, who's a very famous cosmic Marvel character.
Didn't it also happen with Spider-Woman as well?
Did happen with Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
There's rape aplenty in the Marvel universe. So I want to know, do you think knowing this about her, does this reveal anything about her character? Does it help you understand her better? Or do you think it's pretty much unnecessary?
Well, without knowing where we're going, because I don't know a lot about Gamora, can I ask a counter question before I give you
my answer?
Do you feel that there are events in the future, without spoiling the rest of the lesson, that Gamora gets her drive or I say chutzpah from like overcoming this?
No, I don't think so. No more than, you know, escaping a mad psychopath who wants to keep you locked in a room and sleeping on the floor would.
Okay. Then I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Although the interesting thing about it is that Gamora being this sort of alien assassin, angry, villainous character, she is one of the few characters that if you paid it off, I think that that story beat could work for her character, unlike other characters. Like with Carol Danvers, that whole storyline was completely unnecessary. But the idea of Gamora, so far from what you've told me and from what I see of Gamora, is that she suffers in all things.
Yeah.
That she, like in every way imaginable, she's probably been tortured. And because Thanos is a crazy man, a crazy alien. And so for me, I would be like, okay, that story beat would not surprise me with that character. But if you're saying that they don't pay it off, then I find it's unnecessary. But
they don't. And I would say that in the post-modern Guardians of the Galaxy, like in a post-Annihilation age, they don't even address it.
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to I think it's what you're alluding to. If you're going to do it, address it.
Yeah.
And have it lead to
a purpose.
Something further down the line,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
that is a cause or your drive.
Well, think about it this way. And just going from the movie version, mm-hmm. you know, like look at the movie version of Gamora. She meets Peter Quill. She half likes him. There's sort of like a romantic tension there, right? And being with the Guardians is pretty sweet. It's a nice ship. We got nice clothes and we get to do whatever we want, ultimate freedom. That's pretty cool. And so if it's the comic book version where you're saying that like she was tortured, she was locked up, Thanos beat her, and then also there was a rape in there,
mm-hmm.
to have her get the happy ending with the Guardians sort of pays that off a little bit.
I think that's interesting because in the comics, and we'll get to this in a little bit, she never stays a member of the Guardians for very long.
Interesting. Okay.
And she is a character who, when something goes wrong, they always blame or suspect her first.
It's interesting.
She's a less happy character in the comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say that. The movies have tamed her.
A lot.
Yeah. Because she is female Conan the Barbarian in the comic books.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, so I would say unnecessary.
Okay. So as she's laying dying on the ground, Thanos shows up, of course, kills all of her assailants, and forces Gamora to apologize to him for running away before taking her back to Sanctuary.
See, that guy's, oh man.
Yeah. Having returned there, Thanos augmented Gamora further with elements of his own design so that she could never be attacked in this way again. This round of augmentations made her more powerful than Adam Warlock, and her healing factor was upgraded to surpass even Wolverine's. This is important because up to this point, Thanos did not feel like it was a good idea to send her against Magus because she would not be able to take him down.
Okay.
Gamora went on to spend a lot of her childhood killing off Grand Inquisitors, who were the same race of aliens that slaughtered her people.
But not the people from Star Wars?
But not the people from Star Wars.
Got it.
In preparation to one day kill Magus. Although he was able to sense her and prevent her first assassination attempt. She did eventually team up with the good Adam Warlock in order to take down Magus. After that, she returned to Thanos' side once more, where she complained of being bored. So Thanos immediately sent her back to Adam Warlock to act as his bodyguard. Okay?
Hmm.
On her way there, Gamora was attacked by Drax, who you may know from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Drax the Destroyer.
Whose sole goal at the time was to assassinate Thanos because he had killed his family, mm-hmm. or he was the person who ordered the killing of his family. But she escaped and returned to Sanctuary to discover that Thanos had aligned with Death in order to destroy the universe in like the 20 minutes that she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Horrified by her adopted father's actions, Gamora tried to kill him. But he slew her instead and left her body to be discovered by Adam Warlock.
Hey,
who
guy.
Was just, you know, in the neighborhood.
Again.
And he used his soul gem to steal her consciousness.
Oh, all right.
Well, because, you know, soul gems can steal people's souls.
I guess.
And for a long time, like 4 years, Gamora's consciousness remained trapped inside the soul gem until an event known as the Infinity Gauntlet, when Adam Warlock projected his, Gamora, and Pip the Troll's soul into three deceased bodies and used his powers to reshape these host bodies into new, more powerful versions that looked like their previous incarnations from before they had all almost died.
Yeah.
So she's got a new body now, but it looks the same as her old body.
That makes sense.
That's an ethical thing to do with your
comic books.
Cosmic-y magical powers. Gamora then teamed up with Adam Warlock to take on Thanos, although she's not seen on panel for almost any of this fight, even though she is way more powerful, a physical fighter, than Adam Warlock. After that, she remained with Adam Warlock for the foreseeable future, although she didn't like that he let Thanos go free in the end and didn't let her kill him.
Interesting.
Sometime later, the Living Tribunal, which is a powerful humanoid cosmic entity.
Which has three heads.
Yes. Convinced Adam Warlock that he was unworthy of the Infinity Gems that he had collected, so he broke them up, giving Gamora responsibility for the Time Gem that was actually supposed to be broken and have not retained its powers.
Oh.
It was supposed to, but it didn't.
She kept it. Interesting.
The group of heroes that looked after the gems all came together and named themselves Infinity Watch. And they were led by Adam Warlock. Gamora was his lieutenant. And they were joined by Drax, Pip the Troll, Moon Dragon. Mm-hmm. And together they made Monster Island their base of operations.
That makes sense.
Because it's weird, so like, why not go to Monster Island?
Moondragon is also this lady that has a bald head and looks like Aaliyah from Star Trek The Motion Picture, if
and
you've ever seen that.
And is sometimes an actual dragon.
Yeah.
In space, she's called Dragon of the Moon, and we talked about her before she came to Earth and took on her human form in the Guardians lesson.
She wears a green cape.
You can request the lesson on her if you would like.
Please don't.
Infinity Watch was soon forced to work with Thanos when Magus reappeared.
Oh, that guy.
And Gamora reconciled with her adopted father, and they even engaged in friendly sparring sessions until Infinity Watch, Thanos, and a bunch of Earth heroes defeated Magus again and sent him to the Soul World. If you don't know what the Soul World is, it's...
Hey, Ashley, I don't know what the Soul World is.
It is the place for the souls of the righteous to go in the Marvel Universe, so it's effectively heaven and a weird place to banish an evil guy to.
All right.
From time to time, Gamora would unintentionally tap into the time gem that she was in possession of at all time, and get visions of the future, including a man standing over the dead body of Adam Warlock. And this really troubled her, and she was equally troubled by how much she kept thinking about it and how much she wanted to protect Adam Warlock, because what impulse could that possibly be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This vision frightened her so much that Adam Warlock put himself into a coma, with Gamora staying at his bedside in order to protect him from any invaders until she had decided that the threat had passed. So, you know a bit about Adam Warlock, right, Jason?
Not as much as the next guy, but sure.
You know more than I do.
Oh, I don't know that much about Adam Warlock, so.
Well, I don't know anything about him except what I learned for this lesson. We are going to go on, I think it's pretty obvious, to reveal that he is going to have a relationship with Gamora.
Oh, and I wanted
to ask you, is this something that you would maybe like to see on screen? Because he's a character that has been teased might be involved in the Guardians continuity.
What was your question here?
Would you like to see her have a relationship with Adam Warlock in the movies and play out that type of storyline rather than they seem to be pushing her towards Star-Lord right now?
I don't need her to have a relationship in those movies, to be honest
with
you.
Well, she's a female character and that's what you do with them.
I know. And again, we're not going to go into Guardians Volume 2 because we're not going to give away spoilers since the movie just came out. I don't need her to have a relationship in those movies. Like, if she's female Conan, just have her do Conan things.
Yeah.
But to go to your other half of the question, Adam Warlock is a character that is kind of deep in Marvel continuity, and especially the cosmic-y stuff. And I'm not saying whether he shows up in Guardians Volume 2. I'm not saying whether he doesn't show up in Guardians Volume 2. Adam Warlock is a character that I think you could have introduced in Volume 1. And
would you have introduced him? So if you're in charge of Guardians Volume 1,
yeah.
Would you have introduced him in the Collector's Collection?
Yes. Yes, I would have specifically made sure you knew, because there's like a little cocoon back there,
which is what a lot of people think he's going to
potentially
emerge from.
Yes. And they also could ignore that too.
That's true.
You know, because I mean, the Infinity Gauntlet was in Odin's armory
in
Thor 1. And then they said that thing like, oh, there's two Infinity Gauntlets. And you're like, really? Okay.
I can't wait for the Loki Infinity Gauntlet.
I mean, also the Eye of Agamotto is in Odin's. So how does it get to Earth? You know, that's a weird thing. You know, so I don't know. You have to be like time and space, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you have to be like, that took place like thousands of years ago or something like that. Adam Warlock is a guy that like I think could really help. He could be the Nick Fury of all the cosmic-y stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
He could, especially if you're going to ship Captain Marvel. It depends on if you keep Captain Marvel
Earthbound
or you send her off into space.
Yeah.
But if you send her out into space, like Adam Warlock is the guy that you could have appear in all these and especially if you do the Nova movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you spin off like... If they ever decide to do the Rocket movie, which I could see them doing.
Or Rocket and Groot.
Adam Warlock would be the guy that it would be nice to see in a 5-minute scene in every one of those movies.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, so.
Great use of Adam Warlock. All right, so one day, while Adam Warlock is in his coma and Gamora is watching over him, a man named Maxim, and that is spelled like an anagram, M-A-X-A-M, washed up on shore. And he was the man from Gamora's vision. Although he had no idea of who he was or where he was, he or who Adam Warlock was or anything like that, And Gamora was so concerned that she woke Adam Warlock out of his coma, and he met Maxim and said he doesn't look like that bad a guy and decided to offer him protection.
Because, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The entire team rallied around helping Maxim, which Gamora did not like. But before they could really get started or have an argument about it, they were all summoned to help the Silver Surfer defeat Thor, who was considered crazy and unstable at the time.
He generally is.
Do you think so?
No, I mean, Thor's a pretty crazy dude. Thor just does what he wants, man. He throws a hammer wherever.
Well, he's a god.
You never know where it's going to land.
It's true. It could land on the
moon. Get out of the way.
So they went against Adam Warlock's advice and battled Thor without him, leading Thor to steal the power gem from Drax, which Drax was supposed to be guarding. And this caused the Infinity Watch to make contact with Doctor Strange and have him transport them to Asgard in order to get the gem back. But when they showed up on Asgard, they were super not welcome there and had to fight their way through a bunch of trolls and Asgardian warriors with the help of Thanos. And eventually they got all the way to Odin, which led them all the way to Thor.
Yay.
Thor was ultimately cured of what ailed him and thankful for the support of the Watch. And in thanks, he gave the power gem back to Drax. Yay.
Wow, interesting. That's a surprising move. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is like good guy Thor post-lobotomy.
Also good guy Drax.
Yeah, well,
Drax is not generally a good guy.
But Drax right now, as a member of the Infinity Watch working under Adam Warlock, you have to assume that while he's still the Destroyer, he's an agent of good?
Sure, sure. But yeah, Drax, again,
not generally a good guy.
Not a good guy.
Yes. Gamora was forced to accept that she was in love with Adam Warlock at long last when Maya Lopez, a.k.a. Echo, came to the island and fell in love with him under the influence of Count Abyss's love potion.
What?
Okay, so just roll with it.
All right.
It's not important. That happened, and that's caused this. So Gamora concluded that she would have to kill Maya in order to get what she wanted.
By the way, if you don't know who Echo is a Brian Michael Bendis, David Mack Daredevil character who is a deaf ninja.
Yeah. And she's also Native American.
Is she?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew she wasn't white, but I didn't know what she was. But she is the first Ronin in New Avengers. She's the first person to wear the Ronin armor that Hawkeye later wears.
That is true.
Yeah.
So Gamora decides she's going to kill Maya.
Oh, Gamora, come on.
But instead, Gamora wound up saving her from the Abyss Dimension where she was almost killed and decided that if Maya and Adam wanted to be together, she could live with it.
All right, cool.
So things went poorly after that when Maxim made a joke about Gamora's feelings for Adam Warlock. And because she was unable to express herself well, she simply attacked him until the fight was broken up by Adam Warlock, who she refused to tell about why she was in a fight with Maxim in the first place. Gamora was unable to accept that Adam would be on the same side as Maxim and choose him over her. So she screamed at him at the top of her lungs and quit the team.
Gamora did this.
Yeah. And when he asked her to give the time gem back, she literally threw it in his face.
Huh. Oh, man. A stone of that much power. I'd be like, man, it's going to go right through his skull.
Right. Because you assume it's heavy.
Yeah.
Because of the responsibility that it bears.
And just the energy.
Yeah. Then she tracked down Thanos, and they searched for the time gem because they wanted to get it back, until suddenly every Infinity Gem disappeared.
Oh.
Gamora did eventually break from Thanos again, electing to return to her life as a freelance assassin for a few years until she encountered the Mad Titan once more. While on the spaceport Baligeist... B-A-L-I-G-I-E-S-T. She saw Thanos walking around with a nihilist sect and that he had been working for, although she thought he looked different, describing him as a low-rent Iron Man. Thanos spotted her, and she barely escaped with her life, flying all the way back to Sanctuary, only to discover that it had been destroyed and a Skrull research vessel was hanging in the space around it. There she discovered the real Thanos, not this imposter.
Oh, so she'd been hanging out with an imposter?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the real Thanos had been injured. He revealed that he had made 5 clones of himself in the past a bunch of clones of himself in the past. 5 of them were activated by an unknown enemy of his. And they all said Adam Warlock is the key to oblivion when they woke up. Now, my dear listeners, if you want to keep Jason and I from being the key to oblivion, I would recommend heading on over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, throwing a little bit of support to your Mind University so that we can keep making this podcast and keep making cool, exclusive, geeky content over there, including the Geek History Lesson Extra podcast, where today we're going to talk about who Gamora could beat in a fight.
Now, real quick, everybody out there listening to Geek History Lesson, I just want to point out that, like, you know, this podcast, Ashley, you had to do a lot of research for Infinity Gems, right?
I would say I did 6 hours of research on this.
All right, that's
a
lot of research.
This is a long one.
So, you know, to keep the lights going on and to keep the things going on, we'd ask that you go over to patreon.com/Jawin and give just as little as $1 a month if you enjoy this podcast, because then that makes every episode only 25 cents. It's support for support.
Yeah.
Help a creator out, and they'll help you out.
And we'll keep creating.
Yes, and patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, because we'd hate to have to go back to working in the factories of Titan underneath Thanos, where we can't make Geekesh lessons anymore.
That's true.
And the only thing that stops that is Patreon. Thank you to everybody over there who supports us.
Thank you so much, and to everyone who will in the future. Back to Gamora. So, together with Thanos, they destroyed the first Thanos clone, this original one that she saw walking around the spaceport, because it had followed them and came to attack them. Then they tracked down the other Thanosi, as they were referred to. And in the meantime, Gamora went to the aid of Spider-Man when he asked her, and Captain America when he asked her.
I just think it's funny that Spider-Man has her number somehow.
I mean, Spider-Man's a chick magnet, so.
Okay, all right.
And Captain America specifically wanted her to protect Atleza, A-T-L-E-Z-A, who was a human girl destined to become the anchor of their reality.
Sure.
Got it?
All right.
So the Omega Thanosi, who was the last and most powerful Thanos clone left, then merged with Galactus, and Gamora led the attack against him, winning the battle against Galactus Omega Thanosi, and was finally able to begin a loving relationship with Adam Warlock. Together, they left for another dimension to raise Atleza as their own and ensure her safety. They would return to reality 616, which is the main universe that you are all thinking of, when their help was required. Gamora even trained with She-Hulk for her fight against the champion of the universe, even though She-Hulk ultimately failed, which makes Gamora's credit as a teacher a little questionable.
Hey, Gamora's a great fighter, but she's a terrible teacher.
I would hazard that is the truth. Because teaching takes a special person to be a teacher and a special personality.
Can you imagine what Gamora's training was, though? Gamora's training was probably like
getting hit with a broom, space broom.
He's like smacking you upside the head with her fist and then being like, avoid the fist. And she's like, I don't know how to avoid the fist. Hit you again. Avoid the fist. I don't know how to avoid the fist. Hit you again. Avoid the fist. And you just
That's like some stick level nonsense.
It would just keep hitting you until you avoided the fist.
So the next time Gamora did anything of real significance after this training was when she reappeared leading the Graces right before the Annihilation War event. And they battled Ronan the Accuser, whom she wound up facing in single combat because he defeated everybody else, wielding the Godslayer sword against him. And the Godslayer sword is a really important weapon in Marvel Comics mythology. If you've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Really?
Never heard of it.
Oh, well, it's a really important, like, cosmic level sword. It's usually quite large. It's popped up in a couple Thor stories recently.
I'm gonna let you know that there are so many cosmic-y objects in the Marvel Universe, it's ridiculous.
Well, Google it, there'll be a cool picture. When the Phalanx invaded the Kree homeworld, Hala, H-A-L-A,
yep,
which I just want to say like the bread so bad.
Hala.
Hala bread.
Hala Kree.
So.
Hala Kree.
When the Phalanx invaded Hala.
Hala Kree.
Please do that every time. After the Annihilation War, Gamora was selected by the Hive Mind to be assimilated, and they dispatched her to apprehend Nova after he had fled from them. So Gamora then infected Richie Ryder with a transmode virus. That's the thing that allowed you to be controlled.
All right.
Which wound up saving his life from his terrible injuries, and it allowed them to team up and work for the Phalanx since they were all under its hive mind control at the same time.
All right.
Together, they subdued Drax and captured him and tried to prove to him that the Phalanx had evolved and developed individuality and encourage him to take on the virus of his own free will because it would be less painful. Drax was also made into one of the followers, which were referred to as Selects. So she was like Select Gamora, Select Nova, Select Drax, and then teamed up with Gamora to go kill Nova, who had broken away from the transmode virus And they found him hiding on Nowhere, because, like, where else are you going to hide in space in the Marvel Universe except Nowhere?
That's right.
After Gamora landed, she blacked out, and then she woke up lying beside Richie Ryder after they heard a loud noise that woke them up, and they realized that they were face to face, and that had a lot of implications that nobody spoke about, but they all alluded to. So, of course, Gamora promptly tried to kill him, because what are you going to do after you wake up after probably having slept with someone that you don't remember? Nova tried to ask Gamora that she what she remembered, and she relented that she had no memory after arriving on Nowhere with Drax. They concluded that they had probably been drugged because their passport bracelets didn't work, and Gamora's precognitive abilities weren't working properly either, so she couldn't look either forward or back and make a deduction about what had happened. Gamora and Nova fled from an attacking alien force that showed up right after that, and once they were far enough away, all the while, Richie Ryder was trying to fight the transmode virus from making him a part of the hive mind once more.
Mm.
Gamora tried to convince him to give over so that they could be together. But Nova was insulted that she would say this, and he slapped Gamora across the face.
Block the slap.
So on the list of characters that you hate because they hit their girlfriends once, you can probably add Richie Ryder next to Hank Pym and Peter Parker.
I don't agree with that.
Why not?
I don't agree with that at all, because she's Hulk level. She has like Hulk level strength.
But it doesn't matter.
This is just the dude.
Yeah. Well, it's a dude with Nova powers.
Because I'm saying, like, okay, if Gamora comes at me and I'm Nova, am I not allowed to hit her?
But she's not attacking him right now.
You know.
She's appealing to him to be with her, whether she is misled by the transmode virus or not.
Look,
and instead of just being like, no, he smacks her across the face.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think... Look, Richie Ryder has a lot to learn about relationships. That's what I'll say. But to put him down with Hank Pym, I think is a quite an oversimplification.
I guess I just mean this in defense of Hank Pym a little bit.
No. Hank Pym deserves all the scorn he gets. And
only for the Ultimates, though.
Richie Ryder for this. No.
Pre-Ultimates, Peter Parker hit his girlfriend more than
Hank
Pym.
But Hank Pym as Yellowjacket is a crazy man.
That's true. Yeah.
So I don't think it is an oversimplification. Yes, the Ultimates is the worst version, but I'm talking about like pre-Ultimates, like even Hank Pym back then, it was a freaking loon.
He's a piece of work.
Yeah, he's a monster. And I think Richie Ryder is just, he's a kid that went to space before he learned how to talk to women. And
you're saying he's a schmuck.
There you go. he is a schmuck, but he is not like a despicable human being. And also, again, Gamora's invulnerable.
For all intents and purposes, yeah.
So
he hits Gamora.
But I also want to say out there for any listener, before I get any of these tweets, I am in no way saying that a man can hit a woman.
Oh, no.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying that in this fictional world of these fictional characters, like, look, I don't think Richie Ryder is as bad as Hank Pym because he did this. I think this is just a stupid kid. That slaps
somebody.
He's
like 30 right now. He is a grown-up.
But it is like part of a canon thing that...
And he went to space as a teenager, yes.
He is a grown-up, but he like is an idiot.
So he does that, Gamora sad. And then the same space creatures attacked that drove them away from Nowhere. Remember about that?
Uh-huh.
And Ryder was encouraged to join them and abandon Gamora, but he refused. And he took Gamora in his arms and said, I'm sorry I hit you, and carried her away to safety.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, baby, sweetie pie.
And together they headed through a portal and landed somewhere mysterious. Do you know where they ran away to?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's cool, because they're never going to tell you.
That's great.
On the other side of this mysterious portal, Richie Ryder started getting violently ill in the vacuum of space in reaction to the virus that was still trying to take over his body. Gamora continued to encourage him and simply give in to it unless he should die and be taken from her forever.
All right.
But he refused. Furious, Gamora asked him one last time to simply be with her, and they were again attacked. And Richie Ryder formed a protective shield around Gamora to protect her with his own body, but she was angry, and so she tried to stab him in the back, proving that he's a worse girlfriend than she. She's a worse girlfriend than he is a boyfriend.
Yeah, see, there you go. Like, come on.
So
like,
you can also add Gamora to your list of people who hit their significant others.
She literally tries to murder the guy.
Yes.
I'm just saying. I think I have some justification in my previous conversation here. He was slapping the girl that was going to murder him.
Well, she's only trying to stab him in the back. But instead, Richie Ryder struck her first and crushed her leg and broke her femur. Richie Ryder was then so angry that he dumped Gamora off with Drax, having hopped back into the 616 reality.
Uh-huh.
When they recovered, Gamora and Drax teamed up again to chase after Nova. They do a lot of Nova chasing.
Yeah.
They found themselves trapped in the Phalanx Babel Spire, having followed him there, where they were cured of their virus infection and they returned to their proper minds again. Drax was happy, or as happy as Drax can be. But Gamora was scared because for the first time in a long while, she didn't know what her goal or focus should be.
I will say that there is a thing here that they definitely put Gamora in a lot of relationships, like more than I thought there would be.
Right, because you thought there would be zero.
Well, no,
and now we're at like two super weird, long-winded ones.
Well, I actually thought there would be like two. No, I actually thought there would be at least one. But now like there's technically three if you count the first time and the second time she was with Adam Warlock.
Yeah. Well, so just you wait for when Tony Stark gets added to this list.
Oh no.
So Gamora's kind of lost for her place in the universe. So Nova asked her to join him to deliver the cure that he had discovered to save the Kree. She agrees to that. Following that, Gamora found herself alone because he didn't want anything to do with her after they saved the Kree, with no purpose except a will to help the greater good, because she kind of liked saving some people from their untimely demise. She found herself joining the Guardians of the Galaxy, despite the fact that at first she was not trusted, even though she had to, after which she had to risk her life several times before anyone liked her or agreed to let her be a full-time member of the team. When the Guardians attempt to close the fissure inside a Dyson sphere, they decided to teleport away from the immense heat, but they weren't able to. And Gamora had a real moment of heroism where she braved the intense heat in order to turn the shields back on, which saved everybody.
Invulnerable.
Right. But her whole body was charred as a result,
It
took her like two whole issues to heal, which is a long time in comic book continuity.
Well, it's a long time for her, I would say.
It is a long time for her. This is the first time that anything has really damaged her for more than, I would say, a few hours.
Got it.
After the Skrulls were discovered to have invaded nowhere, the entire team suspected that Gamora was the one who had betrayed them.
Of course, because she's green.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Just like the Skrulls.
And if you remember from our Guardians of the Galaxy lesson, it was during this time that the Star-Lord Mantis brainwashing had been revealed.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody knew if they'd ever actually wanted to join up or if they'd been forced to. And Gamora was so disgusted that she quit the team and hooked up with Adam Warlock again. Although the...
She didn't try to stab anybody in the back?
Not at first.
Gamora, you're losing me here.
Although the two would eventually rejoin the Guardians in order to prevent the War of Kings. So Jason, again, really quick, can you tell us what the War of Kings is?
Yes, I can. I did this also last week as well.
I thought you did a better job than the actual synopsis.
The War of Kings is a terrible, terrible, terrible storyline that you should never read, where baby Scott Summers, Vulcan, the third Summers brother, he goes into space, he takes over the Shi'ar Empire, and he makes the Shi'ar Empire fight the Kree Empire. And at the time, the Kree Empire is so scared of Vulcan that they ask Black Bolt and the Inhumans to lead the Kree Empire. So it's the king of Black Bolt versus the king of Vulcan. And again, it's a terrible storyline. Don't read it.
There you go. So Adam Warlock wound up messed up by the time stream following the events of the War of Kings, and turned into Magus. Remember that evil alternate future reality church guy version of himself?
So he's a self-fulfilling paradox?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And he killed Gamora.
What?
Until...
Wait. Did Magus slap her first?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
As long as that happens.
All right, see, that's wrong.
Okay, because he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's an alternate future church guy baddie.
Well, he's an alternate future guy of her love.
Yeah, that's very true. until it was revealed that he only faked her death. Gamora's soul was stolen, just like in the original storyline, by Magus in the little gem, and Magus remade her with the Church of Truth's belief energy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And after that, of course, she wound up physically as a captive of Magus because he now had her consciousness in a body. So, like Thanos, he tortured and interrogated her in order to try to convert her to the belief system of the Church of Truth, but partially due to all the hardware that was in her brain, she was able to resist. So, Thanos did, like, one good thing by putting a computer in her brain? kind of.
I guess.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy team that she returned to was the Guardians of the Galaxy team that had Tony Stark on it. Again, we talked about this in our last.
And we're at Marvel now.
Yes.
Yep.
So, of course, following their first major victory, that's not a joke, together as a team, they hooked up.
Tony and Gamora all the Guardians?
Tony and Gamora.
Okay. The way that sentence was going, it seemed like all the Guardians.
All the Guardians hooked up in a pile.
Okay.
I'm sure that fan fiction exists. Don't send it to me.
But yeah, Tony and Gamora. I think I've seen this panel.
It is literally the second issue.
Mm-hmm.
It is like Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, there's Guardians of the Galaxy 0.1 because Marvel's really weird. And then there's Guardians of the Galaxy number one. They have sex in number one. So like less than 40 pages into it, Gamora is a sexual object for Tony Stark to add to his little black book.
Well, have you read this issue?
I have read this issue.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
Is Tony an object for Gamora?
So...
Because the way Gamora... Gamora is a Conan the Barbarian.
If you have tiny little children, I would say take them away for like 3 minutes.
Okay.
So you know how when we did She-Hulk, we talked about how Jennifer Walters was like really sexually aggressive and there were all kinds of jokes about her crushing guys?
Yeah.
That's what happens. Like, it hard cuts to after, and Tony says, like, ouch.
Mm.
And then Gamora leaves him, we assume because she's unsatisfied. And then for the next 4 to 5 issues, she will not talk to him anytime he's in the room. And there's a lot of scenes where Tony and Rocket are together, and Gamora will come in to talk to Rocket, and Tony will, like, wave at her, and then Gamora never talks to him again.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It's
that's weird. All
it
right.
is like the seed of an idea that's okay. never really played out. Because you can bring your children back now. If you're going to put Gamora in a relationship with someone, particularly a human that we mostly assume is well-adjusted, it would be interesting to see her have to navigate, like, you know, having feelings and then, like, reacting to a human with normal feelings. Because, of course, it wouldn't go well. I just think the inciting incident for this was done in poor taste.
Sure. Okay.
I guess is where I come from. And then again, because Tony Stark is like, you know, famously a womanizer. It's like,
Not as much as Daredevil, though.
Not as much as Star-Lord either, apparently, according to this series, because Star-Lord gets it on with like every woman in every space bar that they go to. And there are many space bars.
All right.
So when the Guardians encountered Angela, Jason's favorite character ever, because she seemed to be attacking Earth, the Guardians waylaid her to the moon to do combat. Now, the majority of this fight was taken on by Gamora because almost nobody could stand up to Angela's physical might as given to her by heaven. She later fought alongside Angela, even though initially she didn't trust her and didn't like her being a part of the team, against the Badoon slave traders. Badoon, classic alien foe of the Guardians.
Yep.
And they soon became close friends. Oh, that's so nice. The ladies must be friends.
Yeah, Angela's on the Guardians, I think, for a while.
I don't know if she's... I don't think she still is.
I don't know.
I think one of the wars killed that. Although when Agent Venom joined the team.
Agent Venom.
Who's Flash Thompson in the Venom symbiote suit working for S.H.I.E.L.D. and sent to space.
Uh-huh.
Gamora was the most vocal against him joining the team, especially after he lost control and the symbiote took over completely. And he almost murdered her until she threw him out the airlock. Which... While not, maybe not the most interesting storyline, it's really funny when Gamora actually like throws him out the airlock. It's a good time. I enjoyed it. When Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde retrieved the Black Vortex, which is a mirror that unleashes a being's full cosmic potential if you look into it, Gamora was the first person to submit to it. Her theory was that all of her enhancements and her healing factor would save her if anything should go wrong. And this ultimately allowed the Guardians and the X-Men to escape from the Slaughter Squad of Spartax because she is such a force to be reckoned with, so she doesn't see anything wrong with her choice. And she spends a lot of time trying to convince the rest of the Guardians and then some of the X-Men, but mostly the Guardians, that they also want to look into the Black Vortex to unleash their full cosmic potential. Along with Beast and Angel, who were the two X-Men characters that agreed to look into the Vortex. And like Jason has mentioned previously, this is what gave Angel his cool fire wings.
Yes,
which
it
is. Pretty much
Young Angel.
Yes. This is the single coolest thing that the Black Vortex ever gave anyone was the fire wings. The three of them toured the universe trying to get as many people as possible to submit to the Black Vortex and unleash their full cosmic potential. They only made it to one planet, though, and they weren't a very good team, and they had the Black Vortex taken away from them by the Accuser Corps. Don't worry too much about it. At the end of the Black Vortex event, Gamora was the only Guardian who chose not to give up her new power set because everybody does wind up looking to it into it and kind of hulking out for their final battle. But Gamora wants to keep this power because now she feels that she's finally ready to take on Thanos.
Oh, and she does.
Well,
uh-oh.
She then left the Guardians when Kin Dun, a man who she had tried to kill years earlier at Thanos' behest, recognized her and vowed revenge on her, and she didn't want to endanger her teammate, so she kind of went out into space. And this incident helped Gamora to understand how powerful she actually was, and she resolved to defeat Thanos once and for all. Now, I want to ask you, before I tell you whether or not she was successful, Jason.
Killing Thanos.
Although, okay. I think based on current continuity, you can probably figure it out.
Oh, I'm very certain of what happens there.
Do you think if Thanos were ever to be defeated for reals and for good and to never come back, no matter what we think about comics, do you think Gamora should be the one to do it? Or do you think it should go to another character?
It should be Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
It really should be Gamora. And actually, the more interesting thing about that fact is that whenever they decide to kill Thanos in the Marvel Cinematic Universe...
Which will come... They're never going to kill him in the comics.
No, they're never going to kill him in the comics. And if they do, they just going to bring him right back.
Yeah.
It should be Gamora, if you think about it. It really... It kind of should be Gamora who kills
Gamora,
him.
It should be Gamora, I think, and Nebula.
Or Nebula. It would be nice
for them to work together because... they have a notoriously bad relationship, which is kind of what's being explored in the current Gamora series.
Yeah. I think it makes the most sense. She's the most wronged by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any other character that would deserve it more. Maybe Adam Warlock, but I kind of think that Gamora even then still deserves it.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that in the same way that if we're ever going to defeat Galactus, it has to be the Fantastic Four to do it. Or it has to be one of the team members who ultimately takes that on.
It has to be one of the four, yeah.
Yeah. So Gamora searched for months and months and months and months and months and months and months, but she couldn't find Thanos, and that was weird. But it wound up being because he was temporarily existing outside of the 616 reality. Yeah.
Thanos.
And the length of her search and how much she exerted herself wore off all of her Black Vortex enhancements. So basically the next writer who got her didn't want her to be all hulked out. Tell me how you really feel.
This is so many sighs in this episode. And I thought Mon-El was bad.
Yeah, that was kind of the opposite though, because you taught that.
Yeah, I know.
The effort to search for Thanos almost killed her. And so when she decided to go back to Hala...
Hala Kree.
She battled with a Kree in Hala
called Hala Kree,
who wanted to kill the people who had destroyed her home planet.
What's the name of the home planet?
Hala Kree. And in the end, Gamora failed to stop Hala from reaching Spartax and attacking Star-Lord, who is the person she really wanted to kill. She rejoined the Guardians in order to defeat Hala.
Hala Kree.
Yes.
Sorry. I think it's so used to doing that.
And they did ultimately defeat Hala.
Hala Kree.
Right before Civil War II. So during Civil War, I don't think there's any more.
I wanted it so bad.
Okay, so Civil War II happened right after they defeated Hala.
Hala Kree!
There you go. So during Civil War II, the Guardians were called to Earth by Captain Marvel, whom they had worked with previously.
Yep.
She wanted them to help her during the second superhuman Civil War, where basically she wants to use a precog's powers to punish people for future crimes.
Yep.
And Gamora wound up turning on her allies when she discovered that Thanos was being held on Earth and that Captain Marvel had previously kept this information from her. She engaged in hand-to-hand combat with Captain Marvel in her rage, after which she cut all ties from the Guardians after learning that Captain Marvel had discussed the fact with Star-Lord and the team, and they all decided to keep Thanos' presence a secret from her.
Yep. I've read that book, and the Guardians are very much like Captain Marvel's secret team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Tony's team doesn't expect it. And then also Thanos is in the very first issue of that book because he's the guy that kills War Machine.
Yes. Fun fact, in my notes, I wrote Captain Marvel, Captain America, Captain Marvel, because I can't keep the character straight. Gamora then broke into the Triskelion and found Thanos' cell, only to discover that it was empty.
Yeah, he already escaped.
And she then found herself locked inside by Captain Marvel, who claimed that Gamora had forced her hand.
Oh, Captain Marvel, you meh.
Yeah, she's got some questionable ethics going on. This is where I'm going to end the lesson on Gamora, but I do want to just kind of sidebar. There is a Gamora solo series. We alluded to it a little bit earlier. It's being published at the time of the recording of this podcast. It's only 4 issues in. If you are interested in Gamora, this is a really great story to pick up. It deals a lot with her relationship with Nebula, and it deals with Gamora potentially having to kill the last of another alien species.
And is she free from the cage?
She is free from the cage. Okay. But I don't want to spoil much about what's going on in the current comics run, but if you like Gamora or if this lesson has intrigued you, I would recommend going and picking this up right now. So let's use this as a segue into our recommended reading section.
Great. Recommended reading, guys, is where we give you our picks on books that you should read if you like this character. You can go find our entire list, our entire back catalog is at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. All of our books are there. Click on those books, take you to the Amazon. You can buy those books. You can get so much comic book goodness inside you. And you know what? When you buy that through Amazon, through our link, a little bit of the percentage of your purchase comes back to the show. Help support the Mayan University.
Heck yeah. So I have 3 books that I think that you should pick up if you like Gamora. The first is Gamora, Guardian of the Galaxy.
Is this her solo series?
This is not her solo series. Oh, okay. This is all of those early adventures and stories of her with Thanos and her fighting mages and Adam Warlock.
All right, cool.
Collected together in one nice volume. It is not one straight run. It is piled together from a lot of strange tales.
That's cool. They collected it together.
They did. And it has a really cool cover. Right. I really like the cover. I couldn't believe that this collection existed.
Well done, Marvel.
So, yeah, well done, Marvel, and well done, whoever in collections put it together. If you're a Gamora person, you definitely have to pick this up. Then I want you to pick up Annihilation. We recommended this in our Guardians of the Galaxy episode, but it is their best large-scale cosmic event.
Nice.
She does some cool stuff during it. And then third, I want to recommend Gamora Volume 1, Memento Mori, which is the series that I was just talking about. This is going to be the first installment of what is hopefully a long run and a very interesting story for the character. If that intrigues you, if you want to read the current continuity stuff, go pick up Volume 1, Memento Mori.
Great. All right. And now we're going to move into the final section of our podcast, the teaching tweet, where Ashley, in 140 characters or less, will summarize everything that you know about Gamora. And you can also find this tweet on our official show Twitter at GHL Podcast.
Correct. Gamora. Formerly something very much like an Orion slave girl, now the most dangerous woman in the universe.
And she might stab you in the back.
And then a little green heart emoji,
yeah,
I guess.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode about Gamora. Don't forget you can find this show every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, and Audio Boom and SoundCloud. And when you go over to iTunes, please rate and review the show because it helps other listeners find the show just like us. I know we say it every single week, but it does make a big
It makes a huge
difference. Huge difference. Ashley, if somebody wants to suggest other Guardians of the Galaxy for us to do as Geek History Lessons, where can they do that?
They can first go search through our database and see all the ones that we've already done, and then they can make new suggestions on Twitter at GHL Podcast or at facebook.com/Geek History Lesson. There's a ton of ways to get in contact with us in both of those places.
You can find me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You can find Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And don't forget about Geek History Lesson Extra, our exclusive podcast over on our Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin. All right. I have been Jason Greenbeans Inman.
I've been Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, would you please close out this ginormous Gamora podcast?
Class is now cosmically dismissed.